Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
This is some disturbing news, Rick. Jim Salisbury, NBC Sports, Philadelphia, breaking story, coronavirus outbreak at Phillies camp, 8 positive tests. And right here lies why we are so concerned about restarting sports. Because what do you do if, I don't know, for argument's sake, the day before a baseball game, 8 guys within your organization test positive?
You're in trouble. I mean, even with expanded rosters. I mean, but you're talking about, so there's 5 players, 3 staff members, and there's still a significant number of team personnel awaiting their test results. So it could get worse. It could be worse than 8 people. Just 8 positive.
Of course it could. But it's terrifying.
Of course it's terrifying. And there's no 100% way to keep everybody safe. I don't care what the precautions are. That's why I think with the NFL, with what we talked about yesterday and Dr. Fauci and everything else, the sooner you can bring the players back and, you know, try to implement some of these things just to see if it's possible. Like, I mean, there needs to be, again, I mean, you got 5 players and 3 staff members. That's baseball. You start talking about football locker rooms and the amount of contact and everything else.
Did you hear what Sean McVay had to say yesterday?
He doesn't get it.
He's just laughing about it. He's like, how can – it's a contact sport. How are we supposed to stay 6 feet apart from each other?
Well, you're not.
You can't.
All the precautions – no, because you can't. Because all the precautions you take off the field with locker rooms and everything else –
it goes up in smoke when you start to hit each other.
Exactly right.
All right.
It's all CYA, man. It's all, the safety protocols are all CYA. We did everything we could. It's
right.
Just, it's the
and
nature of the
sport. And you got sick regardless of our careful precautions throughout.
But I would rather guys get it. I would rather see how this thing works now. Like, I would rather bring players back now. Have all the protocols in place. Have guys go back and forth from their houses and everything else and see what happens. Do the appropriate testing and then see what happens, as opposed to wait and now all of a sudden you have an outbreak and guys have to miss, 3 weeks when it counts, when it matters.
Yeah.
Like, man, I mean, what's going to happen if you miss 3 weeks of training camp?
Can you? You can't start the season. And the season's 65 games.
Yeah,
so you missed two weeks of the season. Now you've missed, what, a quarter of the year?
Yeah, but you're not missing 2 weeks. I mean, you're going to miss 2 weeks and then that's 2 weeks of doing nothing. You got to reacclimate yourself. Football's the same thing. You missed 2 weeks because you tested positive, where you have to quarantine. I mean, look what just happened in Texas with Texas football team.
Yeah. Texas, Alabama had the same thing. Houston had the same thing.
So it's 23 guys, though. He had 13 test positive, and I think he got 10 quarantining. That's 23 guys.
Right. You can't play a game.
That you lose for 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah, man, it's not good.
It's really bad. All right, so I guess you, because I'm not taking the blame for this at all. I guess you've upset Carlin.
I got attacked.
Yeah, he comes your way every night at 7 o'clock. He's got David Cohn on the show tonight. He's very upset. We got into the whole dessert conversation. We piqued his interest. Good afternoon, Chris Carlin.
First of all, thanks for the nice, easy segue there. I appreciate that. I have never been angrier than I was over the last 20 minutes, and I got fired last fall in listening to that segment. And here's my problem. I mean, you guys want to position yourself as experts, and not just you, Rick, although you're unbelievably fit, and you shouldn't even be allowed in this discussion. I know. Be the host. Just ask them. Don't give me answers. I don't respect your opinion on this. No offense. I would not ask you to respect my opinion about hockey. You have no opinion that I'm ever going to respect about this. With the shape that you're in, no.
But I think you're very unfair, Chris. I think you're very unfair. Because he's in dynamic shape, he's no longer allowed to enjoy or have knowledge of the dessert?
Dave, turn in your fat guy card since you lost all this weight, because you don't know what you're talking about. Stop! First of all, the fact that nobody at the very beginning get the clarification on the oatmeal cookie as to whether or not it has raisins. That's everything. You just make an assumption.
I assumed it had raisins because you never.
No,
who has
shouldn't.
Just a garden? There's no such thing as just an oatmeal cookie. It always has raisins.
No, it does not. It absolutely does not. I guess you didn't grow up in America. I don't know where you grew up. But I have to tell you this. I mean, that's like saying to me, this is a refreshing drink. Does it have cyanide in it? Oh, yeah. Well, it's still pretty good. No. I don't put fruit in an oatmeal cookie and treat that the same way without it. And you're, the only thing you guys were right about with that is when you go for the chocolate chip and it turns out to be the oatmeal cookie with raisins, that's a devastating blow.
Yes.
There's no question.
Yeah, you still eat it. You still eat the cookie.
I would
put it away.
I would not. I would find an empty plate sitting on a side table and I would put my cookie on that.
I agree with you on that. And I would not, I would, first of all, I'd be able to look at the cookie when I got it close enough and understand that it was raisins, not chocolate chips. I'm discerning as much as my figure might not make you believe that's the case. And secondly, you know, like things like coconut and key lime pie are in this discussion. Are you kidding me?
You know, these, I don't think you're just a typical give me food and let me double fist it in my mouth. Key lime pie is a delicious piece of cake.
Well, first of all, you just said it's a piece of cake. It's a pie. And secondly, no, it's not. I mean, it's lime, which is, I'll put it in a beer every once in a while. That's fine. It's not dessert. Anything fruit-based is not a dessert, with a small exception of, like, apple pie or
pumpkin. Oh, time out. Here, banana cream pie? Banana's a fruit. It's delicious pie.
I don't know who died and
turned you into the dessert maven, but I think you're off based on a lot of your analysis here, Carlin.
No, my analysis is spot on. Don't worry about my analysis. Look in the mirror and ask yourself, who am I? Because that's what that last segment just told me. If I'm looking in the mirror, if I'm Dan Rothenberg and I'm looking in the mirror right now, I'm a fraud. That's what I am.
You know, for
that's
you to call into
that's
this
strong.
Show and verbally berate the two guys on the show at the moment, I think is really not your finest moment.
I love you.
No, you don't love it because you know when he's done and you start texting me, you're going to take shots at him without him knowing.
No, so, I take shots directly at him. I take shots directly at him.
Yes, so, and I respect that. I have no problem with anybody ever taking shots at me. But when you get into something like this, I take this very seriously. Ironically enough, I'm out exercising, which, and listening to you guys, and I love CMT, and I'm angry enough that I'm exercising. And it's amazing that you made it worse.
This is good for you, though. We're actually making you work out harder.
We're here to help.
So this pleasant stroll around the grocery store that you call exercise is working out well.
I got to get my steps in.
Before you gorge in some devil dogs. Chris, what do we have tonight? We have David Cohen joining the show.
We have David Cohen tonight. We have Sebastian Joseph Day from the Rams, who wrote a nice op-ed piece the other day and is also from Rutgers. And we have Pete the Fat Man tonight. Fat Man, look into it, guys. Look and see what that actually is. And step away before you try to make judgments on desserts and embarrass yourselves. Okay?
Chris, have a terrific weekend. Have a great show. Study up on desserts a tad, and we'll talk to you soon.
I didn't even get into Santiago. Jeez.
Goodbye.
What did I do?
He's taking shots all over the place.
Oh, dude, you should see my text messages. I mean, he is our very own 98.7 bubble, though, which is nice. So
I just got a great tweet. Carlin is turning into the typical, quote, regular disgruntled old guy caller. With DiPietro and Rothenberg right now.
I mean, he texts me, DiPietro equals hack fat wannabe. I love him. He makes me laugh.
He's funny. He's as incorrect as he might be, he's funny.
He makes me laugh.
He's wrong.
He's very upset, though. Very upset.
He's wrong, but he's funny.
And then there's you, Dave. When you get in these corners, you start launching attacks.
How did I launch an attack? You're just the typical, give me food and let me double fist it in my mouth.
Yeah. Terrible.
Why? How is that terrible? That's what he sounds
you go
like.
You go right for the jugular.
It's ridiculous. Strawberry shortcake, blueberry pie, key lime pie, peach pie. These are desserts.
Well, it's pies. I mean, what am I going to say? Chocolate pudding pie? Key lime pie is on a menu.
I'm not even going to say anything about you repeatedly calling pie cake.
Oh, stop it. It's dessert. It's one and the same. What's the difference?
A fruit tart is delicious.
Delicious.
The kiwi and the blueberries, that nice little apricot glaze on top. Stop.
I'm not listening to him attack us for our dessert choices.
He's out working out. Stop it. He's not working out.
Conversations I never thought I'd hear.
He walked down the steps to the kitchen. That was his workout for the day.
You know what I did like when he's like the new skinny Rothenberg. Like, that felt really good.
That was actually, I mean, I knew you liked that. It was supposed to be a shot at you, but you did, because you're happy turning it in your fat card.
Yeah, I am.
But you were aggressive. I agree with Santiago. That was, I mean, that was right for the jugular.
Well,
that's
he
not,
called
I mean,
the show to take attack on us.
I told him to call the show because he was attacking me. I thought it'd be funny. But, I mean, to even find his jugular would be a miracle.
See, I just take obvious shots. You're like the subtle shot at someone.
Well, you got it confused. He has ice cream cone on tonight, not David Cone. It's an actual ice cream cone.
And you didn't even really incorporate the ice cream into the scene.
I went gelato. I mean, ice cream is, right. I went brownie sundae.
Italian ice cream, I understand.
I was going to go different flavors of ice cream, but I wasn't just going to go, you know, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry. Could have thrown in some, you know, mint chocolate chip, cookies and cream kind of action. That could be a whole different topic.
DJ Chef just sent a tweet. It says, my signature dessert is chocolate banana bread pudding. Ooh.
That's delicious, dude. Ooh. Cassie sometimes will make a banana bread, and I'll purposely
banana
not
bread
eat
is
it.
Great. Banana bread with chocolate chips in it. Oh,
well, she makes them all the time. But what I purposely do sometimes is I'll eat half of it, and then I'll leave the rest, and then I'll let it get like a little bit, you know, stale-ish, and then you make that into a bread pudding. Oh my God,
delicious! All right, let's get into. And I know this puts you in a good mood. What's going on with the Jets right now and Jamal Adams? And we started the show. We'll go back to it. 800-919-3776 And I understand why. If I'm a Jets fan right now, Rick, I am livid with what's going on. Cause it's your best player who is disgruntled, who is unhappy, who it sounds like is going to turn this into a bigger thing as we move towards the start of training camp. And honestly, as we sit here right now, I don't know how this ends well unless you're the Jets and you pay him, which Rich Cimini told us is just not going to happen.
Well, define for me what's your definition of ends well?
That he happily plays more games for the Jets.
I think he'll play more games. I don't think it's going to be happy. I mean, if he's a New York Jet and they don't give him an extension, he's not going to be happy. He'll play, he's not going to be happy about it. And I don't question. I mean, once he's in between those lines, he's still going to be, you know, one of the best safeties in the game of football. I'm more concerned about the days leading into the game.
But that's a big thing. If you have your vocal leader as a guy that's not 100% in with what the organization is doing, is that going to be successful?
No. No, he's an emotional leader. I mean, he's the one that sets the tone. And if he's not mentally right and he's in a bad mood because he doesn't get his deal, that's going to have a trickle-down effect on the rest of the team. It's going to. And a big personality like that isn't something that I think...
And he's a huge personality.
Huge personality. And I don't think that's something that Adam Gase is great with in a season that's... I mean, you tell me. I mean, you're not even a Jets fan. How important is this season for Adam Gase and Sam Darnold?
It's
paramount.
This is a huge season for, I mean, Gase, this is it. We talked about that earlier. And Darnold, I mean, this is year three. This is the year that you actually have to start to decide that if he's your future quarterback, which I'm certain that he is. But this is a tremendous year for the Jets. It's a huge season.
Yeah, but the ramifications, Dave, I think we all realize if this doesn't go well, Adam Gase is going to be fired. But more importantly, Adam Gase being fired means that Sam Darnold going into year four has yet another head coach.
So that's a third offense in 4 years of the NFL that you're learning.
And like you mentioned, now all of a sudden, the benefit of having the rookie quarterback, you've completely flushed down the toilet. Because you're going to have to re-sign him.
Yeah.
To big money. Or you pick up his fifth option.
It's really bad what they've done here. And I just go back to the fact you should have the conversation. Now, he really, in essence, says that they're lying because he says he was expecting an offer. But you should have had the conversation, and if he said, I'm going to be miserable and don't want to play here unless I get dealt, I probably would have traded him.
I mean, listen, everything we've seen so far from Joe Douglas is that he has a certain amount of money he wants to pay each player. You saw that in free agency, right? Now, did he give, you know, Fant a little bit too much money? I mean, you could make the argument one way or the other, but that was a position obviously you need, right? You're trying to beef up the offensive line. But he's stuck to, you know, how he values each player.
Yes.
So you're right. You sit down with the agent. What is it going to cost? Is this going to be highest paid safety? If the answer to that question is no, we want to be highest paid on the team. We want more money than CJ Mosley. Then you got to make a decision.
I'm draft sorry. Picks that, that's not even draft a decision picks to me. I'm not paying, draft picks I'm not paying a good now. $17 million a year.
I would probably agree with you. But he's your best player, and he feels like that he is being disrespected because you haven't given him an offer yet. You promised him an offer, he hasn't gotten an offer, and we're at a point now where unless it's someone that's going to step in immediately and be an impact player, preferably a wide receiver, if we could be picky here, then draft picks do you no good.
Uh-uh.
None. So I don't know what you do.
Now, I will tell you this. If you promised the guy that you were going to extend an offer to him and you're not doing that, that's on the Jets.
Yeah, but what's the offer going to be? I mean, if we're sitting here talking about $17 million, Joe Douglas isn't going to offer him $17
million. Of course not.
So would he have been happy with the offer anyway? Or would he have felt like he was being disrespected if they offered him something?
He probably would have felt like he was being disrespected.
Because, again, this is almost the Jets being their own worst enemy because they've been so bad over the 3 years Jamal Adams has been a Jet. Joe Douglas didn't draft him. Adam Gase didn't draft him. The relationship was frayed last year at the deadline when, you know, he was actively... He says he was answering phones, but they were going back and forth with the, you know, the Cowboys and the Ravens and everything else. And then on top of it, you had, you know, Adam Gase bench Jamal during that game, which he didn't like. Remember that? I know he doesn't like Adam Gase. It doesn't sound like he likes Joe Douglas. The team doesn't win a lot. So, I mean, the fact that you would say...
And he's not getting paid.
Well, yeah, but the fact that you would say, trade me to these teams, and it's seven teams that are, I mean, you're talking about the Ravens, the Cowboys, the Niners, the Chiefs. Like, you're talking about teams that are the best in the NFL. And if I get traded to one of these teams, I'll play under my fourth year under this deal. I won't be so concerned with getting the extension.
That's exactly what he's saying. Trade me to a legitimate Super Bowl contender, and money is not paramount for me. But if I'm going to be on the Jets, where 8-8 would be considered a good season, I want to get paid.
Which I don't know if I blame him for. I just wouldn't have went about it the same way he's going about it. This was not the right time to do this.
It's almost like he can't help himself.
Oh, he couldn't. He couldn't. I mean, he's reacting to people on Instagram. Like, this is why players always lose negotiations with owners and GMs, is because we let emotion get involved.
Well, who's the best at doing this? How's a Jets fan supposed to feel today? I mean, you're a Jets fan.
Well, no, I'm saying players. I'm saying the player. I'm saying Jamal Adams let his emotion get the best of him.
Right.
Rather than just keeping his mouth shut.
And then I'm saying, in reaction to that, what should the Jets fan feel like?
Oh, they're pissed.
And rightfully so, no?
He said he doesn't want to be here. Yeah.
Right.
Unless you overpay him, he's out. He wants to go to a team that he knows can win and help him win because he wants to get, you know, he feels like he should be more well-respected around the league as being the best safety in the league. And he can't do that because this team stinks.
Yeah, but I don't know that he's not considered the best safety in the league. I mean, Rich Cimini was on SportsCenter to dissect what's going on with him last night.
Listen, I don't disagree with you. I mean, again, this is just me being a Jets fan. I think he's the best, if not one of the best safeties in the National Football
League. Right. If you're 4-12, if you're 7-9, if you're 11-5, Jamal Adams is one of the best safeties in football.
But I don't know if just being one of the best safeties in football is enough.
It doesn't seem like it is.
Like, he fashions himself as one of the best defensive players in the National Football League. And the only way to really prove that to everybody is being on the national stage, playing, you know, Monday night games, playing in the playoffs. That's when all eyes are on you. That's kind of when, you know, you separate yourself from everybody else.
Yeah, I think it's fair. Let's go to the calls a little bit. Robin Wayne. Rob, you're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Great segment. I want to turn all those Jets frowns upside down. The Jets are actually in a good negotiation position. I negotiate and mediate. And really, Adams misplayed this. If he really wanted out, he should have pressed them before the draft to get the good draft picks. He's not going to one of those better teams because they're not going to have enough draft picks. But Douglas knows what he's doing. So here's what he should say. Jamal, you're unhappy here. You want to be traded. You and your agent missed your window, dude. You have to wait till next season now to the draft. You want to sit out? Fine. Remember, all those fines are mandatory. We can't forgive them. And there's a lot of high-priced wide receivers who never got to play in the NFL again with a bad attitude. So we'll try to move you next season. You have a lousy season, your value's going down. You make trouble in the locker room, your value's going down. We'll try to move you. We don't get the draft picks for you next year, dude. We'll franchise you. We'll walk you right through your 20s. You'll never be the top.
So you want to play hardball with him and make a guy who's clearly willing to speak his mind hate your organization and franchise?
Sure,
That's what you want to do?
Dave, you know why he never wanted to stay anyway? Go back to the beginning. He said he wanted to be on a winner. He ideally wanted to go to Dallas because it's his hometown. He never wanted the Jets. If the Jets paid him the most, he'd stay. But anything less than the most, he wanted to travel. So, you know what? He's not in a negotiation position. Let him sit out the whole season. Let him get fined.
And how's that going to play out for your coach who's on the hot seat and your GM who's in his second year that the expectations are bigger and your quarterback who's trying to win football games to not have him?
Dave, I think Douglas is good. I think, you know, somebody mentioned.
Yeah, but here, timeout. But timeout. To Dave's point, Douglas may be great and he hasn't given you any indication that he's not. I don't trust the head coach. I don't know in a season that is a huge season for your head coach and your more importantly your young quarterback that Adam Gase can handle having a distraction like that.
I think Gase is gone. I mean, I don't think he was a good.
Yeah, but that's not good either, though. If Adam Gase is gone, that means Sam Darnold's going to have another new head coach and another system. Going into his fourth season, you've completely lost the advantage of having a young quarterback at that point. Gone right out. Right out the window.
You're done.
Right out the window.
Right. The entire rookie deal is now done.
The best thing for Joe Douglas in that New York Jets team is to have the best players in that team, even if they're faking it, pretend to buy into Adam Gase. Because I don't think a majority of the guys in that locker room, even the coaching staff, like Adam Gase anyway. So if now all of a sudden you have Jamal, who wants to go out of his way to be a problem and make it hard on Adam Gase, I mean, how are you going to have any success?
They've painted themselves into a corner here, or he has at least. I mean, they have really taken sides. And Rich joined us earlier, and he said, this will continue along.
And
they should have traded
know.
Him before the draft. I'm telling and you, they should have traded him before the draft.
We said that, though. How many times did we say that? You sit down, you have the conversation, realizing that you have to know that, I mean, just from what you've seen over the last year, I mean, like Rich said, go back to that Miami game, how dejected he was. This isn't who I am. I'm not a loser. He's a me guy. If he doesn't get his money, he's going to be a problem. So sit down with his agent before the draft and say, what's it going to cost? And once the agent says it's going to be $17 million, then you have to move on if you're not going to pay him that.
They should have moved on. They should have. And now they've put themselves in this position.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knob Observation.
Welcome back, Dum-Dum.
All right, here we go, boys. Friday edition of Knob Observations.
Here we go.
Before we get to the weather, can I just quickly, I mean, I'm not sure. This is actually tweeted at me from Kevin Harrigan. Did you read the tweet from Kevin Harrigan?
I see it, yes.
Okay, but then he retweeted me another thing, and he says, also, Christian McCaffrey got re-signed because you re-sign running backs early because their shelf life is so short. Isn't that the exact reason why you wouldn't re-sign the running back early? Haven't
the
we
exact
already
reason.
See,
yes, you, let him, play, play you let him play out his entire rookie deal, and then you see where he's at. Of course.
And then you can franchise him.
Right.
Or you can sign him early like you did Todd Gurley and then suffer the
and then cut him and not being able to afford to actually pay him the money he's owed.
All right, that put me in a bad mood, so let's put me in a good mood with our resident meteorologist, Dave Rothenberg.
Well, you know, you think the weather might, in fact, put you in a good mood, but today it might not. It's kind of overcast outside, and my radar looks cloudy for the bulk of the day. So it's going to be warm, maybe a touch of humidity, but not overly sunny for the duration of the day. So let me give you the particular. Sunrise at 5:21, that was this morning. The sun set is 8:29 as we quickly approach the longest day of the year. Chance of rain, not a lot of opportunity that it's going to rain today, 10%. Humidity at 54%. Wind, slight out of the southwest at merely 5 miles an hour. It feels like it's 82 outside. No precipitation, I should say, up to this point. kind of bamboozled me there. Pressure sitting at 30.11. Visibility good at 10 miles. UV index at 8, air quality index 27, and the air quality considered good.
Well done. Well
thank you.
Done.
Thank you very much. Now, are we able to play? What time did Rick go to bed last night?
Well, the game is sweeping the nation. We are currently tied 2-2 for the week. I know Santi put out a text. If not, Santi is going to be Chris Candy's proxy for today.
Yeah, we'll make it work.
King Pauly style.
That's a lot of pressure on Santiago. So did Candy put in his submission or no?
As of now, I've got nothing, but it's my own fault because I texted him late, in all full disclosure. So,
all right, so his entire future rests on your guessing what time Rick went to bed last night.
I suppose so.
Yes, it does. Insanity controls the board.
And I have no idea, and I assume because, Dave, it's your go. You're waving.
It's not my go.
It is.
I lost yesterday and completely fell apart during the course of the week. It's not my go at all.
Well, in that case, I'm going to do what Chris would do in this situation and defer to you.
Well done. Good first step. Good first step, Santi.
All right. It's a Thursday at the end of a long week. Yesterday was warm. Maybe time in the pool. I'm thinking on the early side. Two late nights this week. 7:41.
7:41. Wow. All right, Santi, all the pressure in the world. This is to win the week. To win the week.
That's
for
right.
Chris
two,
Canty.
Two. All right, you know what? I'm going to go with the 7:40 then in that case.
Huge mistake. Huge mistake.
Yes. Oh, no. Oh, no.
A lot of pool time. A lot of diving for things down to the pool. I actually had a situation with Ella last night, so it was later. A later night last night. You guys were both not even close, but Dave was closer. He went with the bigger number. Last night was an 8:48.
Yes. Yes. I win the week. I'm 2-0 in a best of five.
That is straight up nocturnal.
No, that's late.
Yes.
That's got me raving. Yeah, this is a long
week.
The
fact that you went to bed after the sun went down is really groundbreaking for you. Wow.
I could barely keep my eyes open. Fought through it.
And were you horrified? You looked out the window and it was dark?
It was a little bit weird, I'll be honest. Yeah, usually I'm going, blackout shades and it's
Canty is not going to be happy with you, Santiago.
I'll own it. It's my own
fault.
He
can redeem himself, though. He's doing observations today. He can redeem himself. He's doing the stories.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know you. I thought you were guessing. You're hosting observations?
He's hosting.
I suppose I am.
Oh, well.
So I guess it's time. I guess it's time to play. Did it happen in Florida in that case?
Nice.
Is it?
Of course. Please, the floor is yours.
All right. So, we'll play Did It Happen in Florida? Imagine checking your mailbox and receiving an unexpected package. That's ever happened to you, Dave?
Sure.
Okay, according to a local sheriff's office, one family wound up with 32 bags of marijuana, which the people living there insisted did not belong to them. Deputies were called out to a home where the pot was shipped, and marijuana bags were turned over to the sheriff's office. Making light of the surprising haul, Sheriff Ed Gonzalez posted a message on social media, says, if this is yours, please contact the county sheriff's office to claim it. Did this happen in the state of Florida?
Wow. This is a terrific story. Could you imagine that? 32 bags of marijuana just
showing
up in
your mailbox.
And by the way,
mailbox?
I'm looking at the pictures. These are not small bags.
What kind of mailbox
does
this person have?
But they could be little dime bags that you can fit like 1,000.
Oh, easy. Easy.
And this is very interesting.
That's what I've heard. I don't know from experience. This is what I've heard.
These bags look like they've been vacuum sealed and everything.
Really?
It's really high operation here.
All of a sudden we got drug dealer Dave on the line.
Listen, you know what? I have a little knowledge. And I'm willing to provide it. Now all of a sudden I'm part of Breaking Bad. I mean, let me speak. Is it Florida? I'm going to say it's not Florida. It feels like either a California or a Texas to me.
Rick,
Florida is spreading. I mean, we've done some of these stories where the best part of the story is when the police departments try to catch people. If this is your weed. If you need your crystal meth tested for COVID-19, just call this
number. How dumb would you have to be like, yes, it must have been shipped to 13 lane. I'm at 13 whatever drive. That is my marijuana.
Yeah, but if they keep doing it, you have to imagine that this has worked.
Probably so.
Probably so. Dave has been on a heater. He's had a couple bad days. He did win, guess what time, so I feel like he's kind of turned the corner.
That's right.
I'll say not Florida.
Good call, Houston, Texas.
Oh, of course.
Yes, David. Yes,
I'm
David.
I'm telling you, Texas is a disaster of a state.
Goodness. Can we just get to 2021? I'm so done with 2020.
We're not even, we're halfway there. Little
I'm
dime bag.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Oh, goodness.
All right, moving on. We'll play one more. Did it happen in Florida?
Okay.
Most monkeys are no more than 2 feet tall, but they're known to be as much as 4 times stronger than human beings. That's how one drunken monkey was able to tear through, count them, 250 people while on a rampage.
Rampage!
Oh, to top it off, the monkey was actually drunk. local authorities believe the pet was supplied a regular diet of hard liquor. The owner was found dead. The monkey is looking at life in prison. That's not a joke. Did this happen in Florida?
First of all, when you say tore through 250 people, what does that mean?
It attacks 250
people. So it attacked 250 people. All right. This would be a huge news story. Not only am I going to say this is not in Florida, that's not in this country. Final answer.
And the way you made it sound, Santi, it sounds like he also killed his owner.
It looks like the one person that was killed was its own owner, yeah. But again, the owner had the monkey on a diet consisting of alcohol. The monkey was actually addicted to alcohol. I'm reading here. The monkey refused to eat any fruits or vegetables. It just wanted liquor.
I'm with Dave. I don't even, this isn't the United States.
It can't be here.
This would be India.
Nice.
The monkey gets life behind bars.
Life behind bars.
That's
what the article says.
That's great.
So what does that mean? He goes to a zoo? Is that what it means then?
I don't know. That sounds like a monkey that might be too dangerous for
the
zoo.
It can't be monkey jail.
It can't be.
Sounds like solitary confinement.
It can't be with other monkeys. It can't be with other monkeys. Those other monkeys will get beat up.
Send him to Carol Baskin. She'll take care of it.
Disappear. Did you hear that the Pro Bowl would be in Vegas in 2021?
Yeah. Do we really need to know when and where the Pro Bowl is going to be played?
I'm excited.
Apparently the NFL did. The new stadium in Las Vegas, Allegiant Stadium, the home of the Raiders, has passed its biggest major test so far. They passed the Super Flush test, which was conducted Tuesday. A total of 1,430 toilets and urinals, all flushed in the 297 restrooms, all flushed at the same time to make sure that the plumbing system is up to the stress of 65,000 fans. It did pass. So the Raiders Stadium, good to go.
Well, that's good news.
Big test, the flush test.
Yeah, the flush test is huge.
1,430 toilets and urinals while every sink was on in the 297.
Listen, that's an important job for the stadium.
It is an important job. How much time do you think it takes to turn everything on and then flush them all?
Yeah, I always wondered how that works. It's like one guy pushing a button or several.
No, they had everybody. I saw the video of this. They had all these people in separate.
So they just had a countdown and then everybody flushed?
Every single one of those things is being flushed at the same time by one person.
I'm sure more than one person can do a couple urinals at the same
time.
Yeah,
I think you could probably do at least two.
It's still a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Dave does a radio show, takes care of kids, and makes up dime bags all in the same day.
I'm not making them up. I just heard of them. What am I going to pretend I don't know? I know what an eight ball is, too, and God, I never do that.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
You might want to stop speaking on these subjects, Dave. Just a friendly nudge.
Continue along.
I'm gonna wrap it up with this one, and Rick can speak to this one because he pointed it out to me. But it's been months, obviously, since any TV show or movie's been able to have more than one actor together in the same shot for obvious reasons, right? It becomes kind of difficult to do any love scenes. But the Bold and the Beautiful, for instance, is taking a different step. They're actually using blow-up dolls to conduct love scenes in the COVID-19 era.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean they're using blow-up dolls?
Blow-up dolls.
According to Bradley Bell, head writer and executive on Bold and the Beautiful, which resumes shooting on June 15th, actors will be sharing the same sets. So they'll have to keep at least 8 feet apart. So cutting all the kisses, shows weren't the same. So they went outside the box, came back with the blow-up dolls to have a simulated sex scene be taped. Yes.
I can't envision how that's going to work.
Well, they're going to actually put wigs and new wigs and makeup on the blow-up dolls for the various love scenes.
This is via Forbes. This is legitimate.
We're supposed to fall for the fact that these are supposed to be real human beings?
Well, they're probably going to do like the over-the-shoulder shot so it's masked. Yeah, you're not going to be able to tell. That's the magic of television, Dave.
Oh, I'll tell.
Well, I'm sure if anyone could tell the difference, it'd be you with all your
That's
experience.
That's right.
You're on a roll today, I got to say.
What do you mean? What did I do?
The dime bags.
I know what an eight ball is, too.
Yes. You're on a roll. I think I'm going to close
a lot of knowledge
there. Unless, Rick, you've got anything else.
I can't wait for Andy from Eric's question on Monday. It's going to be drug-related now.
No, it's a sport. It's sports trivia that he provides.
Yeah, with a twist of drugs. I mean, no wonder why you love Lawrence Taylor.
Now, that's just not fair.
Oh, my goodness. Dave, you're going to have a hard. This is going to be like real life, The Bold and the Beautiful. Using these.
That's Lawrence Taylor! That's Lawrence Taylor!
Be addicted to soap operas now.
Got to watch something.
This is a good Friday.
It's been wonderful. So, Rick, the news, which we kind of briefly touched on before, was about the Philadelphia Phillies. We have a little more information on the Phillies. The Phillies have announced 5 players, 3 coaches have tested positive for coronavirus this week. Rest of the team is still awaiting results. The Phillies have closed their spring training facility indefinitely. This is, I don't know what else there is to say. Then this is really kind of the greatest concern that we sit here with the resumption of team sports right now.
I think this is the risk you run when you're not having these guys tested more frequently. Is that you get in a situation like this where, I mean, it's not just one player. You're talking about 5 players, 3 staff members, and you're still waiting on, 12 other staff members. I mean, 20 players. I mean, you're talking about this can go right through a team, which is the biggest fear for all these
sports. What happens if it goes through a team? What do you do? If you're the third week of the baseball season and this goes through a team, what happens?
Well, you're going to have to shut the team down. I mean, what are you going to do?
So what does that mean? So you shut the team down? Now, if they're playing another team, does that team get shut down as well?
Well, I think it depends on the testing. I mean, you're going to have these guys. This is why, I mean, like the NHL is doing, before you show up at the facility, you're going to have already tested negative. Like, you'll get tested at night. That test will be available in the morning. If it's positive, you're quarantined and you got to take care of yourself. And if you're negative, you get to show back up.
It just feels like a lot of bad things. I mean, we haven't even really opened sports back up. Some teams are getting together. Houston, Texas, Alabama, the Phillies. I mean, already you have teams that are testing positive without even real workouts commencing yet again.
No, and it's baseball, too. I mean, understandable. I mean, football, I could understand it with the contact and everything else. I mean, that's, again, we don't really, you don't know. I mean, you can have all the safety measures you want in place, but you really, I mean, you have no idea until you go through it what it's going to look like. Safest is obviously going to be the bubble because there's going to be so much testing. And then once you're inside the bubble, the assumption is you're negative. But, I mean, when you're doing, you know, what happened in Clearwater, guys going back and forth from the facility to their homes and living a, you know, a regular life. Now you're relying on the guys to do the right thing. That each one of those players is socially distancing, wearing masks, you know, taking care of himself.
And I don't know how you can rely on people to do the right thing. Really, I don't. And it's sad to say, but I don't think you can.
No, you see all these videos, man. I mean, it's different from state to state. It's different from player to player. I mean, you got guys that, you know, are in big groups on the beach, playing beach football. I mean, Tampa, you've seen some of the workouts that Tom Brady's doing with all the guys. They're not all socially distancing.
No, they're not. And it only takes a few to not. If you have 80% that are doing the right thing, but 20% are not, you're still going to be in trouble. It has to be 100%.
Yeah, then one guy gets it. 2 guys get it. I mean, the guys that are around him, you're tracing and everything else. I mean, look what's going on in Texas. I mean, you got 13 guys test positive, but you got 10 more guys that got a quarantine. So that's 23 guys that you're losing for, you know, 2 weeks of doing nothing. So baseball season's going to be what? Hopefully 65 games?
Hopefully.
Couple guys test positive. Fingers crossed they get through it, but that's, you know, minimum 2 weeks. Then they got to come back, try to get themselves back, you know, acclimated to playing. Who knows how long that's? Another week. So that's, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, but
how's that
but
work
again,
in football?
You know, happening, I have no idea. How they can just put a blind eye to this and say, yeah, we're just going to play football, it's beyond me.
Because they really don't, at the root of this, they don't really care about the player's safety. They don't. They care about
and I don't think they know. I think they don't care, and I think you're right, and I just don't think anybody really has the answers right now.
Well, because they keep relying on the fact that in this age group, you're in good, relatively good shape. Everyone's supposed to be in great shape. I mean, a huge majority of people that get it get through it, and then once you get through it, you can't get it again. You have the antibodies. So they'll play it out.
They think.
Exactly right. No one knows.
They don't know.
More questions than answers still.
I saw my doctor on Monday for just a checkup.
Yeah.
And he did the antibody test. I said, so if I have it, I'm good. He said, we don't know.
Which is scary.
It's terrifying. It's scary. All right. On that note, we'll bring you to your weekend. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Plague a champion. It's Humpty, Canty, Davey Dimebag, and...
Everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.